basically, when I looked at the spirit of fear and intimidation, I sat down a little bit and I quickly just went and looked up what it is and how it operates. And I actually summarized it into a short couple of sentences. You can go to the next one. Now, it paralyzes Christians emotionally and spiritually so that the work of Christ in and through their lives will cease. Now, we don't talk about spirits a lot in the church nowadays because we think it's not necessary. Some of us believe it's not real. And today we celebrate quite a special day. We celebrate Pentecost, the day when the Holy Spirit was poured out. Now, I want to look at that same one and just look at emotionally what it does. And I'm going to quickly just give an example. Maybe we find ourselves in a job where stuff are not going the way we want it to go. We need to work late hours. Our colleagues are not doing their work, so we need to do their work as well. We actually want to talk to our boss, but we also don't want to because we don't want him to kind of think that we can't do our work. We don't want him to touch our bonus at the end of the year because, you know what, that's quite important because we need to go on holiday. Now, we need to realize that this spirit of fear and intimidation, as it is up there, it causes you to stop. Everything that you do stops. You can go on with your normal life, you can jog, you can do whatever you want to do, but somewhere something died or is dead. Now, what I wanted to go to is the next one. Now, that same spirit, your gifts. Now, today we're talking about Pentecost, but the gifts of the Spirit will go dormant. It will die. Nothing will happen. Now, let's quickly go and look at the gifts of the Spirit. I'm not going to go into detail. I thank the Lord that we've got at our church Encounter 1. So I invite you also today, attend Encounter 1 if you don't know what the gifts of the Holy Spirit are and how do we operate in it. I learned quite a lot out of that. But if I look at that gift and I look at Shofar Paul, and if I look at churches out there talking about everyone, I'm going to ask the question, is it present in the church today? Some of you might say, yes, but we've got faith, and yes, we prophesy every now and then, and yes, we pray in tongues, and we sing in tongues, and I'm going to ask the question again tonight, is it present in our church? Now, I want to play a quick video clip. And after the video clip, I'm going to quickly say something more on this.
mission statement die het ons challenge met woorde van vreugde en peace bring China en ons het rarig dit sterk gevoel op ons harte en ons het hierso waar ons nou op die Great Wall of China is wit vlag geplant wat het peace symbolise en ons het rarig net soveel vrede nou en joy in ons harte en dit is net so awesome.
Cool. So I had the opportunity to, in the past, take four times teams to China to the underground church. And what I wanted to get to is actually the following story. When I was in Shofar Stellenbosch, I joined the church when I started studying in 2004. And by that stage, stuff was quite going on in the church services. People got healed, people freaked out and they manifested, but the presence of the Lord was there, and I can tell you stuff happened. People got healed without people praying for them. Crazy stuff happened. It freaked me out. I thought, like, Shofar is this weird church. Never go to that church. You know what? I was partying quite a lot in my first year. So in my first year, I would sit at the back of the church. Because if I know I sit at the back of the church, nobody will see me. Nobody will know that I need to respond in an altar call, and the list goes on. But every now and then, when I go out of the church, I would find myself like, oh, I just want to go have another beer or so. And then there's a pastor by the name of C.S. LaRue. Then C.S. LaRue would walk out the front door, and then he will get me, and he would look at me. It's like, look at your leaf. And I would think, like, weird people, man, they're weird. I actually thought, like, the first time when I attended there, I just went for the cake, because on the Nielsi Bridge, it said, come to Shofar, you will get a free cupcake. So I thought, like, okay, cool, I'm going to go to get the cupcake. But obviously the Lord had quite a big plan for me. And what was so interesting for me is I had the opportunity, as I said, to go on mission trips. Now, on this mission trip to China, the Lord said, quite a couple of hectic stuff. Now, just to give you a background quickly, in China, you don't talk about Jesus. If you talk about him, you're going to go to jail, or they're going to kill you, or they're going to do something bad to you. So now it's my first time taking a team to China. I'm quite stuffed because I am the leader, so I'm ready for action, and I'm going to show them what the Lord can do through me. So that was my whole kind of thing that I wanted to do on the other side. So we got on the plane and I quickly typed a message. I sent CS a message. I'm like, I am so scared. I don't know what I'm doing in China. I am going to die. And then he replied back and he said, yes, you will die. And I was like, okay, if a pastor replies that, then I need to pray. So on the Emirates flight on our way to Dubai, I went to the bathroom and I knelt down in the little tight bathroom. I was like, Lord, I surrender. I repent of my sins. I started from the beginning. I think I was there about half an hour in the toilet busy repenting because I realized everything that I know is not going to help me. So we got to the border. We got out. I thought, like, you must be like, oh, let me first tell you the story. We got to Dubai. So it's my first time in Dubai. And I thought, like, oh, you can make a lot of jokes and you can be funny. And so we walk in the line, and everybody is, like, walking quietly. And I'm like, we are in Dubai. We're going to praise the Lord. And then I realized everybody's looking at me. And so one of the ladies with the thing around her head calls me to the side. And she takes me into this little room. She closed the curtains, and she's like, she's going to do a search on me. I stood there, and should I talk in the spirit? And what should I do? I ended up walking out. Everybody laughed at me, the whole entire team, because they just walked straight through, and I was the one now being searched. But anyway, that's got nothing to do with the story, actually. So we ended up getting to the border, or to the airport in Beijing. We got off. So there was a girl by the name of Tandi. Now, Tandi is a beautiful Nigerian girl, and she stood in front of this immigration officer. And he looked at her passport, And I immediately knew, because we're standing on the other side, we threw already, she's the only one there. I realized, like, oh, Khona, here's trouble. What should I do? Should I call the team? Must we pray? What must we do? I told him, listen, come, we're going to go. She's like, what, we're leaving Thandi? I was like, come. And we, just opposite the all this glass things, there's this toilet. So we stood on the side of the lady's toilet, and I'm like, we're going to pray in the spirit now, but we do it quietly. So we started speaking in the spirit and praying in the spirit, and then Thandi, we saw Thandi came through, and the one girl, she screamed, hallelujah! And I'm like, oh my word, yes, cameras, everything, we're going to be locked up. So we got out of the airport, we're on our way. I know nothing about China. I just see people and everybody looks the same. So we are in trouble. So now the pastor, I'm going to give his Western name that he said, is Pastor Jacob. Now Pastor Jacob said that he's going to meet us at one of the universities. So there my trouble starts on the train. This team expects me to take them to the pastor. And I've got no clue where this train is actually going. So I'm like, Lord, I've repented. I said, sorry, you need to help me now. Nothing. We got off at the train station by the name of Kia Men. And I don't know, I just got off there. I trust it was the Holy Spirit now. But we got off there. There was just people. Couldn't even see the steps. It's just people everywhere around me. And we got up with our suitcases. And I told the team, don't talk to me now. Pray. And I closed my eyes while people were walking all around me, bumping into me. And I'm like, Lord, I don't know what to do. I need your help. But not tomorrow, now. And as I opened my eyes, somebody walked up to me, and it was Pastor Jacob. I've never seen a photo of me. I just explained to him what I was wearing, but I also, in that time, took off a lot of clothes because I didn't realize it's so humid in China. So I didn't have the clothes on that I explained to him, and he walked up to me, and he's like, are you there? And I'm like, yes, I'm here. If my team could have seen my face, thank God they were behind me, I would have been in trouble. So we spent the day with him. The next day on the itinerary, we planned to go up onto the Great Wall of China, which you've seen on the clip. Now, the Lord was very specific with that team that year. He said, you're going to take a flag with you, a white flag, and you're going to anoint it. Now, at that stage, I wasn't sure what's going on, but it came out in our intercession. So, as a team leader, I have to be obedient to whatever the Lord tells me. So, we took out the flag in the hotel, we anointed the flag. And we're now on the train, at least by that stage, I got my directions right, my iPad, translator. So every time I would just show some of them, and they would say, go up that direction, and then I would just walk. But as we walked up, it was quite steep, and I had the wrong shoes on. But yeah, that's another story. And we walked up, and we got up there, and the Lord's like, take out the flag. And we take out the flag. There was no wind. And he's like, I'm going to do something now that is going to throw you off a little bit. I'm like, what? But anyway, let's do it. I'm the leader. I have to listen now. And we got out the flag. And the one girl told me, I feel that I need to go to that point there. And it's higher than where we're standing. She's like, the Lord's telling me I need to raise the flag. We've got a video camera, so the one guy's recording. I'm like, oh, Lord, if we're going to be locked up here, I don't know what's going to happen. I walked, I prayed. We got up there, and immediately as she raised the flag, the wind started blowing, but hectically. At one stage, I'm like, I'm going to blow off this mountain, and I'm a little bit heavier than the normal guy. So what happened afterwards was quite interesting for me. We got off the mountain, and it was amazing. In some time when you want to speak to me, I will tell you some stories about how the Lord sent people to us on that great wall, and we prayed for them. It was a really special moment. But we got to the small group. But before we got to the small group, we met up with a lady by the name of Juliet, and she's now working for our church in Cape Town. And we told Juliet, we just went up the mountain, or up the great wall, and we raised a white flag. And she started laughing at me. She She's like, Theo, do you know what a white flag means in China? I'm like, no, I don't know. She's like, it means death. Somebody died. And I'm like, oh, no. Have I heard the right thing? Have I not heard the right thing? And we stood there. I looked at her. The team looked at me because she told in front of everyone she's telling this. So I'm looking like, oh, my word, I'm not the right leader for this team anymore. So a lot of fear and intimidation stepped in at that stage. That evening in my bedroom, I could not speak a word to the Lord. Nothing. The only thing that I wanted to do is hand over the leadership to somebody else, get on a plane, and get out of China. But then the next day came, and that got interesting. So Pastor Jacob sends me a message, and he says, Theo, the Holy Spirit will tell you where we are meeting tonight. I went to the bathroom, because at that stage, everything in my stomach started just flowing. Because I'm realizing, I got through the first couple of days, and thank you, Lord, for helping me, but now I'm in trouble. And I got the team ready by 2 o'clock. I told them, we're meeting Jacob at 3. But today, you need to pray. And then the co-leader told me, but we pray all the time. I'm like, okay, but you need to pray like more effectively today. I never told them anything. Because I'm the leader, I need to have it together. So, we got into the train. No, don't, I have a cooking clue where we're going. We got up at the Beijing International Language train stop. I walked out. I walked in front of them. I just walked. I walked. I didn't look at anyone. I walked. And then every time I would hear, go right. And I would turn right and I walk. And then I could see some of them are getting a little bit, they're slow. I'm like, come. The Spirit is talking, come. So we walked and we walked, and eventually we got to an old building or a flat. And then we stood in front of the flat, and I'm like, Lord, okay, we're here now. So I think we're here. And then he's like, go up to the 9th floor. And I walked up onto the 9th floor, dark stairs. Now the girls are, it feels like there's rats or something going on, walking or crawling over their feet. So they're screaming, and a lot of stuff is happening. But I'm like, Lord, we're going. So I'm like, come. We go up, and up there, there's a door open. And it's just like a little klein skree if you will. So I wasn't sure. Like, I always thought, like, Chinese people are, like, weird, or they will, like, smack you because you look at Jackie Chan and all that stuff. So you're scared. Imagine I would open up a door, and then one of them would, rah, out of here. So I thought, like, okay, cool. So then I opened the door, and we walked in. And then in a small little area, but small room, there were about 40 young people waiting for us. By that stage, I just sat down, and I just breathed. I'm like, thank you, Lord, we are here. And then I realized in that moment that I am playing games with the Lord, and that I think I know how he wants to use me. I think I know how he wants to use me to go and change the world out there, but I realize I don't have a fucking clue. We sat down, and I'm waiting now for the worship to begin. Take out the guitar and everything, and we're going to worship. And then they switch off the lights, and there was only one little light there. So the team sat in around me, and there were two guys from Dagbreek, which is an Afrikaans kursus in Stellenbosch. They sit next to me. So this Boersians looked at me like, what is going to happen? I could see in their eyes like they're thinking we're going to be chopped or something now. But we sat down, and they's like, we're going to start worshiping now. And what happened was I started bursting out in tears after seeing what they did. They closed their eyes, and their mouth just started moving. And they were busy worshiping the Lord. And then I got the second shock, and I realized we take worship for granted in South Africa and in our churches. They can't do it openly. They will get in trouble. And we come to church and we think we're doing the Lord a massive favor by lifting our hands and worshiping Him. And I realize, Lord, what are we busy with? And you know what? I can share quite a lot of stories. Still, I've got a lot more. But what I wanted to get to is this gift. I'm going to ask, why should we get on a bus or on a train or on a plane to another country, to Africa, for the Lord to use us in these areas? Why is it not happening within our church? Why is it not happening? And I struggled with it in my heart this week. I can't tell you. Last night I didn't sleep properly because it really gets to me. And I had to sit in front of the Lord even this afternoon, and the Lord had to tell me, like, Theo, the church in the West don't have the power that I've given them. And it's time that the church repents and take up what I've given them. And I'm telling you with a lot of respect and love, the Lord is not coming back for a church that is not operating in His power. We are already in the end times. And I'm getting emotional about this because we are sleeping. Our church like this, it should be full. The sick should walk in their doors, and when they walk out, they should be healed. We shouldn't wait for a pastor in front to say, can I pray for your sins? Can I pray for your healing? It should happen. It must happen. Because that's what happens in the book of Acts. That's what happens in the New Testament. Why is it not happening within the church? So I want us to go to the next slide. So basically, if we are honest with ourselves tonight, and I'm preaching to myself, we are powerless. We don't have the power. And the definition is, it's without power, without strength, without authority, without influence. And as I'm saying it, I'm talking to myself. Now let's go quickly, and then the Lord confirmed this, actually over the weekend as I was putting my slides together. The Lord took me to 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 5. Now before I read it, I quickly just want to sketch the scene to you. So Paul is sitting in a prison in Rome. He's locked up. And he's writing this letter to Timothy, which is quite a young pastor in the church of Ephesus. Now, the second letter that he writes, he was in prison, and the second letter came actually the same time. Now, let me just first go back a little bit. It was now almost about 4 years since Paul wrote a letter to Timothy. So in the second letter, let's read quickly this. It reads, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless. Okay, it's difficult to pronounce that word, so you have to read it. Slanderous, with self-control, brutal, not loving good, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. And then what does he say to him? Avoid such people. Now I'm going to say something, and you must hear my heart in this. Yes, the Lord loves us all, and He will continue to love us until we meet Him one day. But as I said, the Lord is not coming back for a church that is not operating in His power. I believe, and I'm saying this with love tonight, Paul Church, that God is going to bring people, and He's going to tell believers that walk in His power to avoid people like us. It's hard to say this, but hear my heart in this. We preach a lot on the power of God. We preach a lot on love. But you know, we've become a people that is okay with arrogant people, with proud people, with people that love money, with abuse, with disobedient kids to their parents that are grateful, unholy, heartless, and the list goes on. Everything that he writes there, we've become okay with that. That's our norm. It's normal. When we pick up the newspaper on Thursday, my heart, with two other colleagues in the office, we cried when we realized how many girls, young people, are being raped and molested in South Africa. My heart broke. And I cried out. I'm like, Lord, why is this happening? Where is the church, Lord? Where is the church? And I'm going to say something now that's maybe going to shock you. We deserve the president that we have. We can say a lot about Jacob Zuma. I don't agree with the stuff that he does. But we are not a praying nation. We are not. It's amazing. I attended the event with Angus. It was amazing. And as I said in my last sermon, the Lord told me, this is just the beginning. You're going to go home, and you're going to start loving your neighbor, and you're going to start loving the people in your church. That is where the change will come. So tonight, I'm saying, as I said, with love, that we're going to need to get this right. Otherwise, we are in trouble. I think we're going to reach a place where we think the Holy Spirit is here, but he actually left the building. But church, this gets me excited. But there is hope. Okay? I've preached a lot now. I've preached to myself now a lot, so I feel now I need to repent again. But we're all going to repent tonight. Everyone. Because all of us lack in that gift. Because we're scared of people. What are people going to say when we operate in our gifts at work? What are people going to think we're weird? And the reason why I shared the stuff of China was it was easy for me there because I realized I need the Lord. I need to operate in His Spirit. Otherwise, I will not be able to get through this. And it was easy on that side to know that people don't know me in China. It was easy. I operated. The Lord activated my gift of prophecy there. They came and stood in front of me with their self and said, like, tell me what the Lord is telling you. And I said, no, I'm not going to say anything unless it's from the Lord. But my prayer tonight is, as we hear the word of hope, is that the Lord tonight in shofar power will come and establish his fear again. Let us be known as a people that didn't say God is our friend, but let we be a people that say God is the one that started everything and that will end everything. Let's go to 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear and timidity, but he has given us the spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. So church, there's hope. There's hope for me and you. It's okay. Tonight it's good that the Lord convicts us. It's nice. I like it. I repent every day. And the Lord uses my wife as well to help me. So it's good. Because it says it's the goodness of the Lord God that leads us to repentance. So I asked myself over the weekend a question. What will happen if the church would receive the power of the Holy Spirit? Now I'm not talking about a little bit of power. I'm talking about the full power of the Holy Spirit. What will the church look like? Now, I got quite excited because Pastor Gerard, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, he shared it in the morning service and in the evening service, we prayed for the small group leaders. So for some of you that will remember, he said, the Lord challenged him and asked him, what will Shofar Power look like if all the small group leaders are spirit-filled? So I sat down this week and I'm like, oh yes, the Lord has been talking, so this is good. So I'm asking you the question tonight, what should our church look like? Now I'm not going to try and give you a lot of funny answers or stuff. I want us to go to the Word. So let's go and read out of Acts 1, verses 4 to 9. They gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. So the Lord is saying to us tonight, we're going to be his witness. Now, if we look at the word witness, we can use a lot of definitions. We can say it's somebody that goes to court, and he goes and he gives a testimony of something, of an account of an accident, of something that happened. But I'm not going to talk a lot about that witness tonight. I'm going to trust tonight the Holy Spirit tonight to talk to our hearts, to start circumcising our hearts. Now, I wanted us to go straight into how do we receive the Holy Spirit. Now, within Shofar and a lot of Western churches, I just looked over this weekend and I asked the Lord, but how do we do it? How do we get the Holy Spirit? Or how do we receive it? And then I answered the question and I'm like, Lord, okay. So I got saved, I got baptized, and then I went to the front in the church and then they prayed for me and they anointed me and I started speaking in tongues. And then I realized, oh, but is that really how it's supposed to happen? And get me right, I'm going to, oh, just hear me here. Sometimes the Lord can do this and pour out his Spirit in any way he likes. So I'm not limiting it tonight to what I'm going to say to you. I just want to take us to the basics. Because I feel that we need the basics and we need to get the basics in order. Because if we're not going to get the basics in order, we're going to come to church every week. We're going to sit here, we're going to get a word, and it might be an amazing word. And then we're going to go out, and we're going to go home. And then the week goes on. And every now and when we give something to the Lord when it's difficult. But my prayer is that from tonight onwards, the Lord will activate something in our lives. He will activate the power. Not a little bit. Because the Lord told me tonight in intercession when we prayed, he said, stop limiting me. You would say to me, yes, people in China, they can hear the Lord's voice. I'm going to say, yes, they do. They hear the Lord's voice because there's persecution. We don't have persecution in South Africa. So for us, it's just another thing on our list. It's just another thing. And I'm saying this stuff because I'm being challenged with it. The Lord is taking me through this. This afternoon, I had to repent again. And I'm like, Lord, I'm going to preach this word, but I'm not even getting this right. But church, as I'm saying again, there is hope. Now let's look at what Peter instructs us in Acts 2, verse 38 to 41. So let everyone in Israel know this for certain, that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him, and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, each of you should repent of the sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now we normally stop there when we read the scripture. Then we're like, okay, cool. So that's the stuff we should do. And let's do this and let's go on. So let's go immediately to the first one. How to receive the Holy Spirit. I'm going to come back to another scripture now. The word of God must be heard. Now Peter preached that in God's plan, Jesus was crucified, raised, exalted as Lord over the universe, and that there's a forgiveness of sins, and that there's power in the blood. Okay, so the word must be heard. The second one, the sovereign God must call men and women to himself, or they will never come. We so easily in the church force people to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And why do we sit with a church that doesn't operate in his power? Because most of the time, it's people that has not been called by the Lord. And you're going to say, Theo, how dare you say that? Let's go look at John 6:44. I'm going to read it to you. It's not on the screen. John 6:44, it reads, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me or send me draws him. And then verse 65 says, and he said, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless I granted him by the Father access. So guys, we must stop forcing people to give their lives to the Lord and think we're doing them a favor. I have the opportunity and it's a privilege for me to mentor a lot of guys at the university. And I've learned over the years, if I force Jesus down their throat, immediately when they walk out of there, they will backslide. Because if we don't have a physical encounter, whether it's physical or emotional, whatever way, encounter with Christ himself, none of this will work. The Holy Spirit, we can pray as much as we want to pray. We're not going to have the power. Because the third one is we must receive the word. Now, this is quite a big one for Christians because we feel once we get saved and once we're baptized, it's over. We're going to heaven. And we don't want to receive the word of God, which is the truth. And it sometimes meets it from our brothers and sisters around us. Seeing something wrong in your life, they speak into your life. What is our first reaction? How dare you? Look at what you do in your life. I believe the Lord really wants to challenge us, that he wants to bring us to a place where we would receive in love from our brothers and our sisters. And then the fourth one, we must give an open expression of faith in the act of water baptism. Now, I'm not even going to go into a lot of detail into this one. I do it. I did it in the past because I read the word and I believed the word and it was clear. There was nothing that I wanted to add to it. I didn't have to ask 50 people to pray for me to get a word of knowledge to be baptized. Let me read to you Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." If you read that, he didn't say, "Do you maybe want to get baptized? You want to get baptized when you are out of the house? Do you want to get baptized when your mother and father is not alive anymore because they're in another church, they don't believe in this?" If I read that, it's a command from the Lord. We must be baptized. So I'm not going to say a lot about that anymore. I'm going to leave it there. So there's four things. It's not steps. It's just some things that I took out of the word. Tonight, I'm going to close now. I've got a lot to say, but I'm going to close now. Because I feel we need to pray. There's three things that we're going to do tonight. The first thing is, I actually want us to just quickly start handing out the communion. The first one is we're going to repent tonight for denying the power of Christ, for not operating in full capacity. I'm telling you tonight that there's a world out there that is broken. There's a world out there that needs Christ. I've preached about this a couple of weeks back where I said the word was so clear, and by this the world will know that you are my disciples. The love that you will have for one another. And my heart's prayer tonight is that tonight we will stop playing church. That tonight we will get to a place where we are honest with God and where we say sorry and we repent. I'm going to repent tonight. I'm going to give the decision to you as well, whether you want to repent tonight in front of the Lord. And then we're going to pray and ask God to remove from us the spirit of fear and intimidation. Our church are suffering because we are so intimidated by this world. You know, we read the word every day, and the word says, and the Lord says, "I have overcome this world." But what do? We sit in our pity parties, we sit with orphan spirits, and we ask the Lord, "Why are we struggling? Why are we going through this?" Church, the Lord warned us. When we read in Timothy, the Lord warned us. It's going to be tough times. The day that you decided to give your life to the Lord, your life was over. The second thing that we're going to do is we're going to give an opportunity for people tonight to give their lives to the Lord. If you feel that you have maybe backslidden and that you have walked away from walking in the full potential of the Lord, tonight I'm going to give you an opportunity to recommit your life to the Lord. Whether you are a leader here tonight, whether you've been in Shofar for how many years, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't care how long you've known the Lord. But I want us to get back tonight to our first love. And then the second thing that I want us to do is, or the third thing, I want us to pray for the Spirit to fall on us tonight. As I said, I was quite surprised when I realized that today we celebrate Pentecost. And it was so precious to my heart to know that, Lord, you have spoken. And I know tonight it was a hard word. I know it. Believe me, I've cried my fair share over this week. I don't want us to walk out of here with our heads down. After our prayers tonight, I want you to walk out of here and know that the Lord has put his power in you through his Spirit. We're the ones that's supposed to walk in this world smiling every day, glowing every day. We take our salvation for granted, people. We think it's a once-off thing and then it's finished. As I said, there's hope tonight. So for Paul, I'm saying there's hope. But I'm saying with all the respect in my heart, the Lord is not coming back for a church that is sleeping and that is denying his power. He's not coming back for that. I think we're going to be quite surprised one day when we get in heaven. I'm even talking about myself, if I get in heaven and I'm not going to see maybe people that I thought like knows the Lord. Tonight I'm saying publicly in front of you, I'm over with playing games. I don't want to stand in front of you and say, Lord, use me and do amazing stuff through me. If there's one thing that you can take out of my sermon tonight, and that is, the Lord has given you something precious, and that is his Son. Stop. Let's stop. Let's stop doing God a favor. Let's become a church that are obedient. You walk in the shop and the Lord says, go and pray for that lady. Be the one that goes. Whether you think you will be humiliated or whatever, it's fine. I wanted to show you tonight a clip of the Passion of Christ. But I'm not going to do it. I sat at work on Thursday and I watched it. And it's quite brutal how they beat him up. I wanted to get into that screen and beat the people up, actually. We don't realize what he has done for us. And tonight we're going to repent. I'm not going to call you to the front tonight to repent. I want us to bow our heads down. Let's get real with the Lord tonight. If you know you are in a situation, or if you know your life is not aligned with the Lord, then you start talking to him. All of us, actually all of us need to do it, not just one person. And I'm going to ask the worship team, there's a song that I asked them, the Lord said I must request the song. I'm going to ask that the minister tells us that they play it. But I want you to be busy with God now. I want you to repent right now. Not tomorrow, not tonight when you get home, now, of denying his power and denying the power of the cross.